relationship with Brother Peter. He started his sharing by pointing out there are some special greetings from Apostle Paul to some sisters in Romans chapter 16. You see that that's Paul's habit, right? In all his epistles, at the end, he always greeted some saints. But in this book, especially, he mentioned the sisters first. Hmm. And the reason why is because these sisters that he greeted too, they are all the serving sisters in the churches where they work. Hmm. And the brother said, you know, at that time, the serving sisters in the church life are so important, were so important, that they are even the same, even not more importantly today in the church life. We need so many serving sisters. And he said, Brother Lee mentioned that for church life to be going strong, the sisters bear 70% of the responsibility. So if there is not enough serving sisters, church life cannot be prevailing. He went on and gave some examples, but we don't have time to go into that. And then also, on the other aspect, he also mentioned that we need so many loving mothers in the church life. Mm-hmm. And then see verse 13, Paul specially greeted Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, as well as mine. He greeted Brother Rufus, but he specially mentioned about his mother. And Brother Rufus's mother was considered Paul's mother, too. Which means, while Paul was preaching the gospel and then serving the Lord, he went through so much sufferings. Yet, there was a sister who loved him, who supported him in many ways, as if this sister was his mother. And well, to Paul, Rufus's mother was his mother. It's so sweet in the church life that we have loving mothers. And in the church life, Brother mentioned that, you know, there are always someone that's younger than you, newer than you. And then he mentioned even the brother, the serving brothers, the co-workers. They could use lots of prayers. They could use lots of petitions. Don't think, oh, I'm just a small sister. But you can always find someone who's younger than you that you can shepherd and love. And he actually not saying that just shepherding for a period of time. He actually said to be a mother is a lifetime matter. You should pray before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, who should I take in as like my child? And I would be burdened to pray for this one for his whole life, even. So in this matter, brothers really encourage us that we should, all the sisters should go before the Lord and pray. We need this kind of loving mothers in the church life. Yeah. And if we have enough serving sisters and loving mothers in the church life will be prevailing. It will be so enjoyable. And it can just be a nourishing, nurturing to all the young ones and new ones. And he said the church life will be so strong that people who come, they were not willing to, they don't want to leave. They want to stay. They will find this place as their home. This is their home. They would enjoy it so much. And so praise the Lord. We want to take a brother's encouragement. Amen. Pray before the Lord. Lord, who can I shepherd? And who can I love and serve, even pray for? Lord, in the church life, where can I serve? What can I serve with? We all should receive the burden from the Lord, not just to serve the matters, not to just take care of things. We're serving because we need to be perfected, and we want to be perfected. We serve the Lord because we love Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I didn't prepare this year, but I'm glad. Just one sister sharing that when Paul mentioned about greeting to a lot of sisters, the typical is, has labored much in the Lord. Wow. That means church needs a lot of sisters that labor much in the Lord. It's not like we sit there just for a meeting, you know, doing nothing? No. We need a lot of people, a lot of sisters that are willing to labor without any reward. Put it this way, you know, you just labor. Like, you love your children, you do everything for your children, you don't ask anything back. It is just satisfaction to serve them.
Wow.
And you always put your children at the first place. Like, you will feed them before you eat, right? You will bath, you will give them a shower before you even give a shower to yourself. You will put them into sleep before you go to sleep.
Right.
That kind of attitude that in your life you put who you put in the first priority. You always, yourself is always the second priority. And also that I was really impressed by what Brother Singh is, we need vision, but vision only touch your heart. But we need another role model in the church life. Why? Because role model, when you see them, you have a pattern to follow. You have a desire to be like that. So if you have a healthy church life, is you can see another role model. When you come here, you love to be here because all the role model is a good testimony. This what God, you know, the vision of God. So, and he also go on saying, you know, in the church life, it's not just the truth, you know. Yes, even sister need to be equipped with the truth. Without the truth, you don't have Christ to give life, right? So, but then, we sister also bear a lot of responsibility is God's testimony in a very detailed way. That, you know, we need a lot of practical things in the church life, you know, like clean the bathroom, the kitchen, you know, how to keep this place clean. But not only that, he really emphasized on you need a loving mother. That is kind of crucial to shepherd the young one. And he is, his age is almost like a grandfather age. But he said he is shepherding like 20 years old brother, or even 30 years old brother. For him, they are like a grandson to them. But he said in church life, there's no gap.
Right.
There's no culture gap, there's no age gap. You always can shepherd someone much younger than you.
Right.
So all he did is but he's very faithful and persistent. He will call them every morning, he will fellowship them, and then after a year, he can see the result that that young brother able to prophesy, able to serve it, do all the service in the church life. And he said that if the co-worker can do it, then there is no excuse for other saints, they cannot do it. So in church life, yes, we could have a lot of excuses. But if you see the role model that people do it, can do it, then you have no excuse, you know. So all he did is he's trying to be a role model for all the saints. So he just shepherded one saint at one time, but he very faithfully shepherded one person, one-to-one relationship to build it up. So it really echoed the message I just heard yesterday. Is I hear from the internet is Brother Lee say to bring Jesus come back second time is all the one talent, all the saints as one talent will be all function, will be all serve in the church life. That is the only way to bring. It's not the five talent. Five talent, they know how to do it. So God doesn't have to worry about those five talent. The two talent, they know how to do it too. It's that one talent that God worry about, that they just bury. They don't know how to use what God give it to them. That's why there is a lot of warning. There's a lot of encouragement. There's a lot of, I don't know, it's like not the threat of, it's like kind of, you know, telling them, you know, worry about them, that you cannot bury your talent that God give it to you. You have to know how to function. You have to know how to give it back to the church life.
Amen.
You know, otherwise, there's a lot of consequence. And that is all said to the one talent, not to the 5 talents, not to the 2 talents. It's a 1 talent. And I really echo because I know I'm the 1 talent. And I think most of us are 1 talent. But in God's eye, we are very precious, more than 5 talents and 2 talents. Why? Because we are the one. God really wants to encourage us, you know, have a seat in that love fest, you know, that we can enter into the kingdom, you know. So I think God is most worried, it's all of us, the 1 talent ones, that we need to rest up and then, you know, to contribute ourselves into the church life, in the practical way, you know. So his fellowship is very practical, it's very encouraging, and really echo what he's saying. And I have to repent to the God that I didn't like, you know, I know a lot of truth, you know. I've been in church life so long, like 40-some years. So I know all the truth, but the dangerous part is, don't let it slip by. We have to be reminded day by day.
Amen. Yeah.
God's coming is reality. God's desire is really build up the church. We need to be echoed and then constantly reminded. That is our desire too. Otherwise, we were lost in the world. We were lost in our job. We were lost in the family. We were lost in many things that we couldn't focus on what God has been given to us. All the talents, all the vision, all the truth, you know. So I really think we need to encourage each other, you know, go on in the church life in the real way, not in the doctrine, in the practical way, that we can put ourselves into the church life.
I just give an example of Brother mentioned. He said one time he met a gospel friend, right? So he talked to this gospel friend for 1 hour, but he didn't accept the law. But then brother invited him to his house, his home. And then that time his sister is not at home, so brother just cook a noodle and to feed this gospel friend. Then before eating, our brother say, "Let's pray." During the pray, this gospel friend cry out. So through this, you know, feed him, and this gospel friend was saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so he mentioned that a sister is very important in church life because in a family, he said, if a sister show the back face, right? You know, when a brother invited a gospel friend or a saint to their home, but the sister didn't show the, you know, welcome attitude, then no one will come. So he mentioned that the sister very important. Not necessary sister need to cook very good dishes, but the attitude, you know, the welcome and in the spirit very important. And he also mentioned, sister just mentioned, one-to-one shepherding is very important. So he tried to, he used himself as a model, because some saints say that there's a gap between old saints and young saints. How can we shepherd them? But our brother just started to he has a burden for one young saint, a new believer. So he tried to nourish him, praying for him, and you know, the morning revival with him, and even help him how to prophesy in the meeting. So after half a year, then this brother being perfected and can be functioned in the church. And another thing he mentioned, that because some sister mentioned, they ask a question such as, for young adult, right, especially young sisters, we have children, young children, like 1 year old, 3 year old, they need to go to bed early. So how can we attend so many meetings besides the Lord's Table meeting? And some sisters say they need to go to this, you know, after class, after school, they need to go to this practice, learn this piano, learn instruments, learn this, learn that. So our brothers say we need the children is the God gave to us. So we need to give our children to God. It's not in our hands. The children is not in our hands. Why you need to spend so much time to take them to learn this, learn that? Eventually, they won't belong to you. They probably won't come back to you. So he just encouraged all the young sisters. So you need to just give our children to the Lord. And the Lord will take care of them. You know, if you have a faith, if you have a heart to attend more meeting besides Lord's table meeting, the Lord will do it. The Lord will take care of them. And so the sister asked that one of his sons, he doesn't want other saints to take care of him. How can I go to the meeting? So I have a feeling that if all the family, they can take care of each other, like sometimes I take care of my grandsons. If other young sister, they have young kids need to be take care of, need to be babysit, can send to my home, then that sister can be released to attend more meeting. So I think this mutual taking care of is very important to church life.
Great. I think we should stop here. Wow. Thank you. Sisters, you bear 70% of the responsibilities at the church side. So we brothers will pray for you and stand with you. So we should split so that young people, I think you guys have your own lesson for the serving saints, and then we can start our prophesying.
Small meeting today, so
nice and cozy.
So don't mind me asking if you come forward again. Maybe we would not have even second row, but some of us, if you see an NPC, maybe you can go in front. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Starting from this Lord's Day, you know, we are entering into the crystallization study of Ezekiel, and this is. We will see that in the coming weeks, we will be getting into this book. And a lot of the messages actually is going to be focused on just Ezekiel chapter 1. So do not be tired. Do not get tired of Ezekiel chapter 1.
Amen.
Our prayer, and I think the brother's feeling, is really that we will enter into Ezekiel chapter 1 in a real and living way.
Amen.
This will become something really that governs us. But because of time, I will just briefly give an introduction, and then hopefully the saints can share more. This week, we come to Ezekiel, of course, and the title of this week, let's read the title together, actually. Amen. Just the week title for this week.
Visions of God and the revealing of God's purpose and the desire of His heart.
So we see that Ezekiel, he was in captivity actually, but then as he was praying one day, you know, the Lord revealed a vision to him.
Amen.
So this is visions of God.
Amen.
So you know, in this, I believe, you know, in my concept when I was, you know, growing up, I thought only people who serve the Lord needs a vision. Mm-hmm. Oh no, actually, the burden of this week is that saints, everyone in the church life. All the churches and all the saints need to see a heavenly vision.
Amen.
So this week, really, we need to learn what it means to see a vision. Therefore, what we present, and the reason is that what we present to the children of God, as you know, a brother or a sister in the church, should not be mere teaching and doctrines or knowledge. Right? I'm guilty of this. Sometimes, you know, it's just faster. It's easier. Just to give them some knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Go home and think about it. Come back, you know. But really, as we shepherd, as we be in the church, as we, you know, learn to serve, we need to learn what it means to impart a vision or help others to see a vision of God that will govern them. And but the vision we have seen in spirit under the open heavens through our contact with God. This is what we need to impart to the saints. This will cause God's people to be recovered from their captivity, and it will lead to the building up of God's churches.
Amen.
So, we need to see a vision, but how do we do it? I think briefly, this week there are a few pointers that will guide us. But again, before I go in, I was really touched by this point. You know, the vision that we see determines the person we are and the church life that we will have.
Yes. Right.
So really, you know, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We need to learn to see this vision so that whenever we come in contact with others, they will sense something, mm-hmm. not just out of religious duty, not just out of your good intention even,
right.
but they will see something, wow, I don't even know, a person who's under the vision.
Right.
And this really, I think, requires some experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we all enter into this.
Amen.
Amen. So, before we start, when we enter into the vision, we see that. In Ezekiel's case, right, the way he saw the vision was that first, heavens were open to him.
Amen. Amen.
And we see that in Ezekiel's, whenever God finds a group of people on the earth, right, who's one with this desire,
mm-hmm.
the heaven will be open to him.
Amen.
So in order to have open heaven, saints, we need to first be those who are one with God's desire.
Right.
We need just even a small desire, Lord, I want to see this vision. I want to be one with what you're doing today. That is a small desire that the Lord can use to open the heaven to you. So our heart is very important.
Amen.
And number two, to see a vision and to have the heavens open, we need to be in spirit. Or in Ezekiel's, we see that we need to be in a trance.
Right.
Okay, so this is day three. And how about that's let's read day three. Let's go to day three. Let's read the verses in Acts 10. Amen. Together. Ready? Go.
And he became very hungry and wanted to eat. And while they were preparing, a trance came upon him. And he beheld heaven opened, and a certain vessel like a great sheet descending, being let down by four corners onto the earth.
So this, of course, is an example of Peter. I'm not sure if you remember the portion here in Acts 10. Basically, Peter was hungry,
right.
and yet he was still praying.
Mm-hmm.
Being in a trance actually means that we need to pray. You know, mm-hmm. The way to get in the trance is only through prayer and being in spirit. We need to pray ourselves into the trance. And to be in the trance means that we are gotten out of ourselves. Right? That we may be imprisoning ourselves, but we need to pray out of that imprisonment.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, Peter, he was hungry. If he was in himself, he would be distracted by his hunger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he was one, you know, who, even in that situation, learned to pray himself into his spirit.
Amen.
To pray himself eventually into such a trance that the Lord was able to open the heavens to him, mm-hmm. and give him a vision of, you know, of the mm-hmm. of the things that he should eat. Basically, that was a vision that he should go out to the Gentile and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So, saints, we need to be in a trance.
Amen.
This is the way that one of the ways that the Lord can open heaven to us.
Amen.
Amen. And lastly, I just want to touch another point. Lord Jesus. Okay, in order to see a vision, we also need three things according to Ephesians 1. We need revelation, we need light, and we need sight.
Amen.
We know that, you know, for instance, you know, if, you know, you are someone who is in a dark room, you cannot see anything.
Right.
Even if your eyes is open, right?
Right.
You cannot see anything.
Mm-hmm.
So saints, I think the burden from the message that brother shared with us is that we will be open to his shining.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord, I'm a young brother. I don't have much experience in this, but I think a lot of the saints can maybe share more on this point.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes vision requires a price
for us
to pay. Amen. I'll just leave it like that. And again, that's the matter of the light. But for instance, even if there's light, and yet your eyes are not open, you have some kind of blindfold, right? You still cannot see. So we also need revelation, meaning that we need the Lord to open to enlighten the eyes of our heart, so that we can actually see something when the Lord is revealing something to us. And that again has to do with our openness. Oh Lord, grant us the sight. And again, revelation means that, a vision means that an extraordinary scene, right? So not only you have to have light, you have to have sight, you must be at the right position. If you need to be open to the Lord to place you in the place. That means you must be in your spirit. You must learn to exercise your spirit as we shared before, you know, to be in that trance. That's the only way the Lord can reveal this extraordinary extraordinary scene to us.
Amen.
And when He does that, we cannot help but humble ourselves before Him and consecrate ourselves to Him for whatever He wants to do.
Amen.
And this is the type of person that Ezekiel is. And this is the type of person that all the churches and all the saints of Lord's recovery should aspire and exercise to be. And anyways, may the Lord unveil His heart to us.
Amen.
And by our cooperation with Him.
Amen.
Amen. So, we have some time for the saints to share. And we'll start with 2 minutes each. Amen. And even though it's a small group, we can still, it's a perfect opportunity for everyone to share. So feel free also to stand up as one is sharing. Amen.
Amen.
By the river Chebar, the heavens were open and I saw vision from God. And I also enjoy the next verse, Ezekiel 1:3. The word of Jehovah came expressly to Ezekiel the priest. And in the same way, Ezekiel was also in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And then I was very impressed that, like, by the last sentence in the nourishment part, if we are today's Ezekiel, we will have an open heaven. And so I just, today I enjoyed praying this to the Lord. I told the Lord, Lord, I want to be today's Ezekiel. Not yesterday, but today's Ezekiel. I think as a college student, it's kind of hard to, really, because I have gospel friends right beside me, it's like hard to kind of like stand strong and like preach the gospel to them. And then I really think that like this world is really weighing us down.
Yes.
And in the campus, even though I don't do anything, even though I just stay in my room, it's really just a weighing down. But I enjoy that even Ezekiel, he was among this land, among the captives by the river Chebar, and he still could receive heavenly vision.
Amen.
And then my prayer is just that, Lord, I want to be an Ezekiel today.
Amen.
Be one who has the heavens open to me.
Amen.
And who is also one who is in a proper position to always be in my spirit.
Amen.
And then so that the Lord can just dispense and can just review whatever he wants to review today.
Amen.
I was appreciating, I think the Lord really puts within us an aspiration to become the Ezekiels He needs, to see what He is revealing and to do what He has revealed. So I realize that, you know, ambition comes from the self, but aspiration comes from the Spirit. And the Lord puts an aspiration within us to become Ezekiels. And who is Ezekiel? And we're getting a glimpse of who Ezekiel was. Ezekiel was one who sought the Lord. He was seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
He was contacting the Lord, contacting God.
Mm-hmm.
He was one with God even, and Ezekiel was one who was open to God.
Right.
And I think we saw Ezekiel as one whose heart matched God's heart. Mm-hmm. So Ezekiel was one who was open to God. Ezekiel was one who was seeking God. Ezekiel was one who was contacting God. Ezekiel was one who was one with God. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel was one in whose heart was really a duplication of God's heart.
Yes, right.
This is the person of Ezekiel that I aspire to be. Mm-hmm. Living
Amen.
In the church life here for the building up of his temple, which we'll see at the end of the book of Ezekiel, which is his temple, his city. But just to be in Ezekiel. Aspiring to be in Ezekiel with the heavens open to us.
Amen.
You know, we're all Ezekiels here.
Yes.
At least we should all aspire, and I think the Lord
yes.
puts in us an aspiration to all be Ezekiels, mm-hmm. having each of us personally heavens open to us
Amen.
To see visions of God.
Amen.
And this means we need to be transported, and I enjoy this, to be transported out of myself.
Amen.
Out of my self-love,
Amen.
Out of my self-vindication,
Amen.
Out of my self-interest. To be in the interest of God.
Amen.
To be transported out of myself into my spirit.
Amen.
It was here in the spirit that Ezekiel could see visions of God.
Mm-hmm.
He could be out of his own desires, out
right.
of his own personal preferences, and into his spirit
mm-hmm.
to see visions of God. I was so impressed that this is what it is to be in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is to be in ecstasy.
Yeah.
Ecstasy
right.
means literally to... You know, ecstasy, so out of, stand against the self,
right.
To be in the spirit. So we should pray ourselves out of ourselves, and we should pray ourselves into the spirit.
Amen.
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 That's right. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so the first time I heard Ezekiel in depth was this past winter break, and I think we only went over the first chapter. And now 4 months later, having heard it in several other places, I think I understand a little less than half of the first chapter of Ezekiel. So it's a pretty deep chapter. But still, I'm happy whenever I pick up something along the way in that I can see something very rich in just even a few verses. I lost my train of thought. I apologize. I'll come back to that thought.
Amen.
Yes, and the five, so the one signified by the glowing in the hands, the Lamb of God dwells within us as a priceless treasure for his expression. And another point says, the vision in Ezekiel shows us that we need to be cooperative and that we need to be in coordination. In the morning, today's reading, enjoy this portion. What makes us so happy? It is because we have the very God working within us, both the willing and the working of his good pleasure. How do we know that we are living a life according to God's good pleasure? It is because of our sense of happiness.
Amen.
When we are happy, we are registering God's happiness within us. Our inward joy is an indication that we are living and walking according to his good pleasure.
Amen.
And another point here concerning this electrum. It says, as the electrum, the Lord Jesus is the one who has redeemed us
yes.
and who is everything to us.
Yes.
He's our God. He's our Lamb. He's our Redeemer. He's our Jasper. And he's our Sergeant. If we consider our spiritual experience, we will realize that the one who dwells within us today is the Lamb of God, the one signified by electron. So I'm a part of this. And being encouraged to be a part of it. In the sight of God, before we were saved, we were base and wicked. I knew nothing that was honorable or glorious. Praise the Lord that he saved us and regenerated us. His wind, his cloud, and his burning fire have made it possible for us to have him, the redeeming God, within us as the glowing electron.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So last night I was reading the Ezekiel chapter 1 with Sister Amy. Then I didn't read the morning revival, but I read the chapter 1. And I find out chapter 1 actually is a very, very rich chapter. Mm-hmm. So I encourage all the saints to read the full note of the chapter 1. So I just want to share a little bit that what I got from the Bible. So the first, it mentioned the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electron. So which represents the spirit and the covers by God, the transformation, and the salvation God. And as long as we practice the wind, the clouds, the fire, and the electron, we'll be more likely to look like the four creatures. And I actually very enjoy that the four creatures have the form of the human. So praise the Lord. So God's plans always related to the human, so we can see how much that God loved people. And then the four creatures has four wings. So the four wings represent the eagle's wings. It means that the grace and the ability that the capability that the God use on us. And there are human hands underneath the wings. Mm-hmm. So which means that we should move and we should act in our daily life on the coverings of the God's grace. And also there's the invasion about the church. So it's like the wings connect each other. Mm-hmm. So it means that in the church, we need to connect with each other under the grace of the God. Amen. So there are four faces on the four creatures. It's there are human face, and the lion face, the ox face, and the eagle face. Okay, I'll just... So the lion face is that... So the human face is that we need to have the right humanity. And we're going to... For the lion case, which is the one I enjoy the most, is that when we face the Satan, we have the authority, and we are over the Satan, just like the lion. And for the ox face, which I can relate to the sisters' meeting yesterday, is that we need to work like the ox, and just like the sister, we need to bear the burden. So we need to work very hard. Also, and there's the eagle face, which means that we have the potential to overall through our and in law. And yes, okay, I think I will just share with you here. It's really rich. And last night when I read the full notes and I summarized them and I sent it to Sister Amy immediately, and I told her, oh my God, I'm so excited. The Old Testament is very interesting. So yeah, I encourage them to read all the full notes and summarize it. It's really rich.
Amen.
Amen. I think today's, you know, our today's situation is really like Ezekiel's time. Mm-hmm. Because we are in captivity. Amen. Although we think, okay, we have a very nice life, you know, everything looks normal, but actually we are really in captivity. Because so many things, just like the sister shared before, really weigh us down. In this world, there are so many things. Mm-hmm. Everybody is so busy, and everybody need to, you know, learn a lot of, you know, things. Mm. Yeah, and a lot of things not really necessary to learn. Yeah, really a waste of time for us, you know, to spend so many things on earth, so many time on earthly things. So I really appreciate this week's message. We need a kind of prayer that brings us into a trance. Mm-hmm. And that brings a heavenly vision to us.
Amen.
I know today is really not easy because so many of us in the captivity, you know, so many of us, you know, even in prison, imprisoned in the self. Mm-hmm. Yeah, self is the most terrible prison for us.
Amen.
And a trance means that we have been brought out of ourselves. We may be imprisoned in the self, but we need to pray ourselves out of that imprisonment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can share a little experience of myself, mm-hmm. like several, actually it's a long time ago. Yeah, one day I pray, you know, that time I didn't work. I stay at home and taking care of the family. One day I pray to the Lord, I'm so poor, you know, I need this, I need that, I need a lot of things. And suddenly I think I was brought in a trance and Jesus just showed me, you need nothing, you need more of me. Yeah, you're really not poor of anything. You're really poor of me. What I really need is Jesus Christ. Yeah, so at that moment, I feel the heaven really happened to me. And the tears just comes out. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but at that moment, I just have that, you know, sense from the Jesus. I really like a lack of Jesus. So from that moment, I know, okay, I'm not poor. I'm not, you know, short of any material, but I'm short of Christ. So we need to thank Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, you know, I enjoyed, you know, things sharing. And one thing, you know, is we are inspired to be today's Ezekiel. Yeah. So, and there's a lot of experience, but I want to share my experience with my current work. So I have been worked for about, 15 or 16 years, but current work is the busiest work of all of them. And to a certain point, I pray to the Lord, because, you know, in my experience, I can easily find another job. So I pray to the Lord and say, Lord, should I leave to find another one? I was really thinking of that, but this time, I think the Lord gave me impression is, I want you to stay. So I say, if I stay, I need a lot of power from you, because I don't want to be captive by the business of the work. So everybody around me is really busy. It's like, and so right now, so what I try to experience is to experience the Lord supplying me, you know, these powers, so I can be like. Like a sister said, I can be a lion over the Satan, or I can be ego, you know, to overcome this. So yeah, so right now, so I really pray, like, you know, the Lord, you know, lead me to be today's Ezekiel, and also give me the experience to follow you, to experience, you know, the lion. Experience the face of the ego. May Lord lead all the churches, yeah, and all the college students. Amen. Amen.
Okay, so to continue with my thought that I was interrupted by, so the first thing that I learned from Ezekiel that actually stuck with me was the matter of the four creatures, and it made sense because that was like my conduct. But when I revisited it during, I think, the most recent conference, what finally made sense to me was the matter of the wind, the storm, the wind, the fire, and the electrum. I'm still kind of loose on the electrum, but it's like I'm only be able to conduct myself like these creatures through passing through these storms, these winds, and this fire, and experiencing what I think the electrum is. So, like, and then even in the first Ezekiel 1:1, just to bounce off what Phoebe was saying, a vision. I think I might have had a vision at one point, but a vision is such an abstract concept that I can't even say with certainty if it was. But it was a moment, just not even 5 months ago, when I became a Christian, when I saw, after the first conference, it was the parable of the heart, when I finally sat down with John Ward, and it was explained to me about the kind of hearts that we have. It was like, in that moment, like, everything, like I had been in Catholic school for 6 years and grew up Methodist per se, and then just in that one moment, after all these years, did anything in the Bible gain any sort of reality to me? Mm-hmm. So, amen. I hope that, if that is a vision, that I can only gain more of those in the future to see the greater reality of everything that God's revealed to us.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to share something, but, you know, I just came from Shanghai, and I just arrived, actually, this week. I just came back, and we're in week 7, so you're in week 1. So I just wanted to just share again, but it's been so wonderful that I have, since I came back to New Jersey this week, I've been going back to enjoy all the, you know, the jewels and the diamonds, and I'm like, just, this is going to take you so long to digest.
Yeah.
Because just like you said, brother, the Ezekiel is just a deep, deep book.
Right.
And the first chapter, you just look at the first chapter, you know, and thank the Lord we are in the ministry and we're under the ministry. Mm-hmm. And as long as we stay here and keep our eyes open, our heart open, we will get the visions. The Lord will open our eyes,
yeah,
will grant us the revelation. But I just want to touch on 2 points, Saints, for the week one. One is on day one. It says, number 2 point, it's outline. It says, Ezekiel stood in the position of a priest, one who was seeking God and contacting God, and who was connected to the heavens. I think that, you know, someone shared just this morning that everyone is a priest. Everyone in this room is an Ezekiel. And that's right. As soon as we get saved, truly, genuinely saved, according to Revelation, we are a priest. And we are in that right position, just as Ezekiel. I was very touched by that. Verse 3, it says, the word of Jehovah came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest. The priest. The son of Buzi in the land of Chaldeans. And land of Chaldeans is bad. It's the world. You know, it's not in a good position. So sometimes, you know, as Christians, we think, oh, everything has to be just right. The environment must be good. Then I will open myself to the Lord. But that's not the case. You know, we can be in right in the middle of the world. We can be in our work. We can be at school. We can be a lawyer with a lot of cases, you know, bad cases, and, you know, Brother John's a doctor in the worst of medical cases, but that's when we can be in the position of a priest. And then the second point, very quickly, before the piano goes, there's a point, let me see, I'm sorry.
It's okay, I think sometimes we can do 3 minutes.
Oh, that's sorry, brother. Sure. There was one point very at the day four that was very good, so enjoyable. Was a rushing for the is when it says that the hand of the Lord always follows His speaking. Oh, that really touched me. And if you read the message in day four, it shares about, you know, when you have the visions and when you, how do you know that, you know, everything is He is with you, God is with you, the Lord is with you, is when you see things happening. Then you know. Because with Ezekiel, God's hand was on him. So remember, Ezekiel prayed that there would not be rain. He was praying within a prayer. That his prayer, actually when Ezekiel was praying, he was just echoing God's prayer.
Amen.
And so God just stopped the rain. He said there wouldn't be rain for 3 years, and that God stopped the rain. So we have to check also, saints, that we really are, you know, one with the Lord. Because you see His hand will move with you.
Amen.
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 And I just want to share some of my experience after I read the Ezekiel chapter 1. So wait, at first, I still encourage all the saints to read the footnotes because I summarized at least like 21 important points in chapter 1. So, but the point that inspired me most and helped me to settle down is that the sky above the four creatures. So I just want to introduce some of my experience here. So the reason why I moved to New California is because I got the depression because of the pressure. I think, and at that time, I was extremely doubted about the God's love to me because I think, how can a Christian happen such things like this? And is it that God never loved me? Is it His love changed? We know that in the doctrine, God's love never changed. But actually, when I encounter such a, like, yeah, experience, so then I strongly doubt about the God's love. And at that time, I actually push myself far away from God because I think I can't trust you anymore. Because even I happened such the, like, I was in a dangerous situation. But when I read the Ezekiel, and there's one point that the sky above the four creatures is actually constant and it never changed. Just when we look at the sky is so clear and it's never changed. Mm-hmm. And there's no barrier between us and the sky. Mm-hmm. Once we have the heart, once we have the heart to open to Lord, once we have the clear heart, mm-hmm. so it just, it helps me to settle down because then I finally ensured, wow, he's like the God, the sky above me. His love to me never changed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as long as I have the heart to him, I have the clear heart to him, mm-hmm. there's no barrier between me and him. Mm-hmm. So it's really, yeah, it's really touching me in some point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so just want to share about that.
Amen. Amen.
I felt like this week was a good continuation of last week's message, because last week we saw that we need to exercise the subjective keys, right, to lock up the self, bear the cross, and deny the soul. And when I got to day three, I really appreciated it. It said, we need the kind of prayer that brings us into a trance and that brings a heavenly vision to us. A trance means that we have been brought out of ourself. We may be imprisoned in the self, but we need to pray ourselves out of that imprisonment. And I just appreciated, anyways, just that continuation, seeing that we need, the only way to deny the self is to learn to pray. Right? And the kind of prayer that we need is one that is, we're brought into ecstasy, out of ourselves, into a trance, right? And then in day, I think it was in day one. In day one, just this point, it says, we encourage all the brothers and sisters in the Lord to serve Him as priests. We all need to learn to pray to God, to contact God, to have fellowship with God, and to live before God. We exercise as priests in this way, the heavens will be open to us and we will see God's visions.
Amen.
And so I just appreciated those, that first part. We need to learn. We all need to learn. Mm-hmm. Learn to pray to God, contact God, have fellowship with God, and live before God.
Amen.
And that way we become the priests. And I appreciated from this message, only when God has those on the earth who are one with Him in such a way, can He then open the heavens, right? That's the prerequisite. You know, God wants to open the heavens, but He needs some who are on the earth contacting Him in such a way as a priest in order to unveil all that's already, that is on His heart. Mm-hmm. And then I appreciated, you know, seeing that sequence of the visions and then receiving God's word and then God's hand. And then just under day four, under D3, it said, may we all have an open heaven, see God's visions, receive God's words, and have God's leading and directing hand upon us to meet God's need. And I just really appreciated that all of these things is actually to meet God's need. And we see in Ezekiel 1, the desire of God's heart and the purpose that He wants to accomplish. It's all there in Ezekiel 1, right? And so He needs such an Ezekiel in order that His need and His purpose would be accomplished on this earth.
Amen.
Amen. I was touched on day two. We talk about if we would know the truth, we need to see the vision of God's economy. I can testify that years ago I was caught by this vision. Because we have seen it, we can press on in spite of suffering, defamation, and all kinds of trouble. So I appreciate that, you know, because the brother was caught by the vision, that's why they could all press on. I feel like all this time since I was saved, and then I get through all the surveys, I feel like I know I have to do it, that's why I do it. I feel like I didn't really touch my spirit. So I just feel like, Lord, unless You reveal to me such a heavenly vision, I don't think I could continue to press on. So my prayer is, Lord, may You show me such a heavenly vision.
Amen.
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 asked Ezekiel to not only use his eyes to see, and also use his ear to hear, and God's hands were also put on Ezekiel, so that God has done something on Ezekiel. So this reminds me that if I cannot have the direct sense of the God's presence to me, within me, so maybe God has done something to me. If I'm not on the way that He desired, so then that means if something bad happened to me, which is not what I want, but that might be the God, the way God has done to me, and to make me see something.
Amen.
Appreciated this week the kind of person Ezekiel was. So Ezekiel was someone who sought God,
yes,
and was in fellowship with God, and then he had the open heaven. And like the sister shared before, God wants to open the heavens to us, but he needs persons like Ezekiel,
amen,
who, so that he would be able to do so.
Yes.
So Ezekiel was a person who did not care for himself. They spoke about this in the message, and I was just really impressed. In day four, it says, wherever he went, whatever he did, and how he acted and behaved were all due to God's leading and directing hand. Whether he was bound or free, whether he mourned or rejoiced, whether he went or came, everything was under the leading and directing of God's hand. So I appreciated that. You know, I just felt like this week, you know, I realized, you know, we're all very short of this, but we really have to be persons like Ezekiel,
who
would be open to his speaking and really be seeking him.
Amen.
Not care so much for what we want, which he does expose us and shine on us during the week, and I think in little things, just in like we want to do something, we realize, no, actually the Lord, anyway, so the Lord shows us what he wants. But we just have to cooperate. Anyway, so may we be persons like Ezekiel.
Amen.
Ezekiel is another role model that God gives to us. If you look at the condition he is, he's in the captivity. So that means, you know, it's not where we are, it is who we are.
Yeah.
He's a person of seeking and then contacting the Lord and then connecting to the heavens. So usually it's not, we always say, Lord, if you put me in this situation, then I will be a little bit better. I have a heart to you, blah, blah, blah. So this gave us again, we have no excuse again.
Right.
And this is like another role model for us. It doesn't matter where we are, and it's who we are. That's really common to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If Ezekiel can see the vision, then we all can see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we have the right attitude, we have the good heart, that we are seeking Him, we can see a vision from God.
Amen.
So it's not like you have to really spiritual to see the vision.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's our daily life. So we count on Him.
Right.
That is a vision from God.
Amen.
So don't think we have to see a big picture.
Right.
And then we can counsel. No. Anything God touch us, that is a vision from God.
Amen.
So it's not like already we have to be like seeing the great light, you know, like Paul. No. As long as God speaks to us, that is a vision from God.
Amen.
And so I was really touched that, you know, we need to be like Him as a look to God, pray to God, contact God, fellowship with God, waiting for God. So again, there's no excuse. We cannot be Ezekiel. He's just a very normal person.
Yes.
He's not like a great talent, like, you know, speak well, you know, or, you know, has a lot of money or whatever. No. He's just a very normal person.
Yeah.
He's just a priest. He just have a heart. That's all he has.
Yeah.
He got nothing else.
Right.
He doesn't glorify himself. He doesn't have a lot of things. But he just have a heart for the Lord. That's all counted for the Lord.
Mm.
And then he can see a great vision.
Amen.
Yeah, I want to follow that. I just appreciate, you know, we realize that vision is very necessary, right? Because without vision, we cast off restraint. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what the end goal is. But to have this vision, we see from this message there are requirements, right? And our sister mentioned, it's a matter of heart. You know, it's not a matter of what you do. And what really struck me is, in the first few verses, you see this description of this person, Ezekiel. Yes, he was in captivity. But it's interesting, he wasn't in the temple. He was outside.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what, where you are, per se, or what you do in the name of God. It's a matter of your heart, right?
Amen.
Ezekiel was a priest. Amen. His heart was, he wanted to contact God. Amen. He wanted to fellowship with God.
Amen.
And so this really spoke to me, right? And God's economy, again, it has nothing. The importance is not what we do, but it's really a matter of person, who we are.
Amen.
So we can aspire to be such persons like Ezekiel. But I also feel, besides to have the heart for God, we also need to have the prayer that brings us out of ourself, out of our situation, out of our feelings, out of our whatever, right? Into a trance, right? That we could see such a vision, right? And just like Peter's experience, I think there's nothing, the example of Peter, with Peter was his food, right? He was hungry, right? That's something that has to deal with, you know, your person, right? And for him to be brought out of that, wow, you know, required this kind of prayer, right? And so sometimes I feel, actually even recently, I'm realizing that actually I don't know really how to pray these kind of prayers, right? And so I'm relearning. I really have an aspiration to relearn how to pray.
Yes.
You know, prayer is actually a denial of self.
Amen.
Prayer is to declare, not I, but Christ.
Amen.
Prayer is to join the heavens to the earth. Right?
Amen.
Prayer is to be connected to the heavenly ministry of Christ.
Amen.
So we really need to be priests who pray.
Amen.
And then finally, what we also need is to receive God's expressed words.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just merely picking up doctrine or knowledge.
Yes.
But God's expressed words is God's special, right? Living, fresh speaking, right? And so this requires more than just, reading Ezekiel 1 over and over and over again. But it's to pray over, right, these verses. It's to make a connection. It's to contact God through the Word. And if we do so, I believe God will speak to us.
Amen.
He will give us His express Word.
Yeah.
And through all of this, then we could receive such a glorious vision.
Amen.
Which, you know, I echo our brother's sentiment in the beginning. You know, we'll see later on, right? Anyway, there's so much, right? And but may we be these proper persons, right?
Amen.
To see such visions.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, brother, sister, have you seen visions of God? Have you ever seen visions of God?
Yes.
And have you ever seen, you know, God's economy have ever really unveil to us?
Yes.
You know, if we really see something, we really see visions, you know, our life will totally change.
Right.
You know, like Rob shared, when you see this, you know, first time the Lord revealed this, the heart as soil, right, to him, I think his life totally changed. And what is vision? Actually, vision is something extraordinary things.
Right.
You know, brothers, when sharing this message, he said, you won't say you have a vision of an insect. When you see an insect flying, you won't say it's a vision.
Yeah.
But when you see this Grand Canyon, right, you will see that, you will say that's a vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary. So when we, on one hand, how we can see the vision, first we need to be out of self, ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to enter into a trance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we see the vision, actually we are in the ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
We're really out of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning I just recall, you know, Paul also say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he say he's beside himself.
Right.
You know, if we really see vision, we definitely will beside ourselves.
Amen.
We will have kind of joy, kind of peace, but joy, but very extraordinary experience of the Lord. And so the title saying the vision of God is not just one vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the book of Ezekiel will show us visions
yes.
of God.
Right.
So in this coming,
visions.
How many? 12 weeks.
12.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We need to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And may the Lord really open our eyes
yes.
to see visions. Not just doctrines,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the church life. We say we are in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
We have this high truth. You know, so many great ministry words, but have we really see the vision, or is really just doctrine us
yes.
to us? If we never feel so in awe when we read the message, we feel wow. Then we haven't seen the vision yet.
Right.
And so, if you know, days 5 or day 6 mentioned about, you know. There's one sitting on the throne, right?
Mm-hmm.
And has a likeness of a man,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, on the earth there's four living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They also have likeness of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And is that say something to you? Mm-hmm. You know, if we never seen this vision. What does that mean? Then the message shows us, you know, all the religions, or majority of religions, they know there's someone sitting on the throne, right? But all the religions, their God, they're the one sitting on the throne, maybe the Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, right, if we see the God's economy, we will know this one sitting on the throne. It's not just God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God, but also man.
Amen.
And if this really, you ever seen this, and you mm-hmm. see, oh, so wonderful.
Amen.
And then we really see something.
Amen.
So I also really, you know, at the beginning of this series of message, we really need to pray to the Lord.
Yes.
Really open our eyes.
Amen.
It's 12 weeks. Not just
mm-hmm.
another 12 weeks of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really, the Lord really opened
see.
The heaven to us.
Amen. Amen.
See visions of God.
Amen. And
know His economy.
Amen.
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 And also, I want to share in the Matthew. So when we talk about the vision, when I read it yesterday, there's that the Magi from the east arrived at Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." So the Magi see the Christ star rising, and they see the vision. They saw the vision of it, but actually, because they only focused on the vision, they didn't be guided by the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So they're misleading. So killed many children because the hero, the king, heard this and he killed all the kids under the 2 years old. So I think it's important to combine the vision with the Bible. We're not only learning the doctrine like the Jewish, but also we see the vision, but also we are guided by the Bible.
Yes.
So Bible and the vision, I think these two are very important one that we should combine them together and lead by them.
Amen.
I just wanted to point out, you know, after listening to all the sharing, there's a couple of things that touch me. And the three words, you know, after listening, vision, self, and joy. Those are the three things that kind of touched me this week when I listened to all the sharing.
Amen.
So regarding this, You know, most of the, we know that we need a vision, right, after listening, after reading this chapter. But when we look at our experience, most of the time, we don't have a vision. And in fact, most of the time when I actually go pray to try to get a vision, I don't get one. But the vision actually comes just from being with the Lord.
Amen.
When I'm in his presence, not seeking for something, that's when he reveals something. So I think that what's important is we need to actually aspire to be in his presence.
Amen.
So that's where we are. That's our hearts. Because the more we aspire that, without even looking for something, that's when he touches us and speaks to us.
Amen.
You know, our self is very strong. You know, we all want to be very intact. You know, so that self-love, self-preservation, a sense of I want to be right.
Yes.
You know, many times, you know, if you look at different arguments or something you get into or different things, it's just because you want to be right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who's right in the end, right? It really doesn't make a difference. But your self is so strong.
Right.
That's right.
And so when we come to the Lord, that self is still intact.
Oh, yeah.
It's who we are. We come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here, Lord. You know, accept me. I'm here. But the Lord doesn't want our self. He wants our heart and he wants our desire to be one with him.
Amen.
His desire is that he became a man so we could become God in life and nature. That's what he wants.
Right.
So only if we are aligned in that, then what? Do we truly experience inward joy?
Amen.
Otherwise, we go through a lot of things, you know. Like I remember when I was a student, if I did well on an exam, I had joy, right? But that was not inward joy. You know, that's temporary joy. You know, someone compliments you.
Yes.
But inward joy is something that doesn't necessarily make sense.
Right.
As you go through life, you just experience joy.
Amen.
Why do we experience this joy? Because there's a living one within us.
Amen.
And this living one, when we're coincided with him and his purpose, he operates.
Yeah.
That operation brings joy.
Amen. Right?
So if he doesn't operate, no joy.
Amen.
So I'm not saying we should be introspective and have a joy meter, you know, and say, you know, am I really joyful today or not? But we have a sense as we go through life, are we experiencing this inward joy.
Amen.
This inward joy is through the operation of Christ.
Amen.
And only when we actually aspire and connect with him does all of this spontaneously occur.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, I think that, you know, when I look at my experience, you know, the times where I really enjoy his presence is many times when I just pray read the footnotes. Or I pray read some of the messages. I just prayerfully consider. And no one says anything to me. No one tells me I have to do anything. But all of a sudden now when I touch that, there's an inward joy.
Amen.
And then now comes shining. Then when the shining comes, the self is exposed.
Amen.
Usually it's something that I said. Usually to my spouse. that's just life. Okay, that's my experience. Something I said, and usually I said, and now the Lord just brings this to my remembrance.
Right.
Now I have to take the blood.
Right.
And so all this is a cycle. And God's desire is that we continuously are in this cycle. It's not like a revelation that comes all at once, and then we experience, now I see the vision, and now we run around, we're joyful. It's progressive, and it's a little day, it's a little bit of time, every day. So we just need to be encouraged to keep going forward.
Amen.
Every week, every day we wake up, you know, we just say, thank you, Lord, there's another day.
Amen.
There's another day to experience you.
Amen.
Another chance that I can come and experience you more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for placing us.
Amen.
Where we are.
Amen.
Where we need to be.
Amen.
To have the heavens open to us.
Amen.
To see visions of God.
Amen.
We just aspire to be in your presence.
Amen.
To seek you.
Amen.
To contact you.
Amen.
To have fellowship with you.
Amen.
to be in your presence.
Amen.
You would show us what you need to show us.
Amen.
We would be on track.
Amen.
For your purpose and your goal.
Amen.
Jesus,
amen.
Oh, you want to have a heaven open.
Amen.
You have a limit on this earth.
Amen.
Oh, because Satan destroyed the earth.
Amen.
Oh, but in the church,
yes.
You will gain a group of Ezekiel.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, gain us every day.
Amen.
Be open to you.
Amen.
Protect you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Jesus, we pray you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, so you heaven can open to us.
Amen.
So you can bring us to see the vision.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we follow your leading and guiding hand.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for speaking.
Amen.
Thank you, your hands always follow your speaking.
Amen.
You continue working on us.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, Lord Jesus,
amen.
We really don't want to live by ourselves.
Amen.
We also don't want to live for ourselves.
Amen.
We want to live for you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we have the aspiration to be one with you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
amen.
Open the heaven to us.
Amen.
Right. Lord, we want to serve you as priests.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Lord Jesus,
amen.
We have a heart for you.
Amen.
A heart for your needs.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, every day this week.
Amen.
Oh, bring us into fellowship with you.
Amen.
Keep our heart open to you, Lord.
Amen.
Keep us hearing you.
Amen.
Oh, hearing your speaking.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we must hear your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to listen to ourselves.
Amen.
We want to follow by you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh,
Amen.
Lord Jesus. And we just want to pour it by your Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, may your grace always shine upon us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, help us and wash us by your fire.
Amen.
So that we can be the useful material for your church building.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. And also, oh, Lord Jesus, because of your fire, we can be the one who's enlightened us.
Amen.
Who's enlightened others.
Amen.
Jesus, we just want to be with you.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to doubt your love.
Amen.
Lord, we just want to love you.
Amen.
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 That's right. Famous from Doctrine this week.
Amen.
We would just love you.
Amen.
We would love you more this week.
Amen.
Clean our hearts.
Amen.
Yes. Turn to you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we want to give you the upcoming week.
Amen.
We will still spend some time with you.
Amen.
Lord, keep our heart pure and single to you.
Amen. Amen.